Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children. Welcome back to the Autism Mums podcast. We're going back in time this week, and we're re-releasing episode 8, where Victoria and I delve into the significant topic of anxiety in autistic children. This was such a popular topic, we thought it would be good to replay it. Drawing from our personal experiences as mums of autistic children, we examine how anxiety presents itself in various forms, from meltdowns and shutdowns to avoidance and physical symptoms. We offer our insights into daily challenges and share strategies that have helped our children to feel more supported. Whether you're just starting on your autism journey or dealing with school-age hurdles, we hope you find this episode helpful.
I read that approximately 40% of autistic children also suffer with anxiety.
Wow.
It's definitely been one of our major concerns with our son.
So what does anxiety look like in autistic children?
It displays in very different ways, and it's going to vary between children. I'm thinking of just our boys, how their anxiety displays. There's a lot of crossover, but there's differences as well. I would firstly say meltdowns or shutdowns. There's been a couple of examples at school and he's completely shut down. And when I say completely shut down, that usually for him will mean lying on the floor, non-responsive, unable to speak, unable to move. And triggers for that have been fear over a lesson, could be a new lesson on a timetable, or a fear of what that's going to look like. When he was at first school and he had a shutdown, they weren't sure if he passed out. And it was the paediatricians who explained that it was an autistic shutdown where he's overloaded and can't communicate.
It's like they retreat into themselves, isn't it?
It is. And other ways anxiety can present itself with autistic children is an increase in repetitive behaviours. Do you find that at all with your son?
Oh my goodness, yes. When our son was in mainstream school, he had this kind of ritual that he did every morning. He'd have to fill the sink to a certain height in the bathroom, and nobody was allowed to touch that water. It had to be at that height for the whole day. Yeah, so that was like his anxiety behaviours. He becomes quite controlling over things.
I remember that. Okay, let's talk about avoidance. That's definitely my son's biggest one. So I'm not going anywhere. And that's usually I'm not leaving my room. So retreat, right, and avoid going to see people, going to certain places, anything that's feeling really scary or overwhelming, we're just going to avoid.
We have that too.
Tummy aches, so presenting as physical symptoms. We have a lot of feeling sick and we have a lot of aches and pains when we're really anxious. And for a while, I thought that he was ill because he looked terrible, but it was the anxiety. So anger is another way that you may see anxiety coming out.
Our son experiences anger quite outwardly, so he will screech and shout or make animal sort of noises.
My son has trouble sleeping.
Sleep has always been an issue for us. Our son gave up naps really early, I think by 18 months old, and it takes a good 2 hours to get to sleep at night. He needs somebody with him at night as well. So my husband actually sleeps in with our son because he gets very anxious to be alone at night.
Something I've noticed that my son does when he's anxious is that he asks lots of questions, repetitive questions that he may have already been given the answer to. So if we're going somewhere, when are we going? How long are we going to be there? And you can answer them over and over and over again because he's looking for that reassurance.
Yeah.
My son doesn't do this now, but it's certainly something that he did when he was younger, and that was masking. I would say that mask is off now, but I think he held it all in, certainly till about the age of 7. So he could seem fine at school and then come home, and that's when it all comes out. And I'm sure that that's what a lot of parents see.
And I think that can also make it really difficult for getting the assessment part of things because they can be seemingly okay at school, but actually really struggling at home. So it's really difficult to get that sort of input from the professionals because they're not seeing the same behaviours.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guesswork because of the communication differences that our autistic children have. So my son would often say that he was bored. He wouldn't say, "I feel anxious." He'd say, "I feel bored." And it took me a while to realize that "I feel bored" means I'm really worried about something or I've got a problem with something. Only in the last few months, since he's been at specialist school, he's done more work on this and had more support. But he's able to say, if you suggest something, "I feel really anxious about that." And that feels like a massive breakthrough, actually.
It is massive, isn't it? I think that is where specialist schools really come into it because they really help them explain things and feel okay about explaining it too. They just feel more comfortable to be able to voice it.
For sure. My son had a lot of mindfulness sessions. In those mindfulness sessions, they explored what anxiety looks like within you, what's going on when you're getting these feelings. And I know all that work that they did with him has really helped him vocalize what's going on.
Yeah, that's really good.
So I think we should talk about what are some common causes of anxiety in autistic children, because it's a lot more than you think. Do you remember that program that was on television that Chris Packham did, Inside Our Autistic Minds?
Yeah.
So the part of that program that really stuck in my mind at the time was the boy Ethan made a film. He was really hypersensitive to noise, which my son is, and he made that video of what it was like going out and the dogs
Yeah.
barking and the unpredictability of that and the unpredictability of a baby crying and the effect that that had on him. And I saw things completely different. Like that really enabled me to see it through my son's eyes.
Yeah.
Sensory
Yeah.
overload can cause huge anxiety in autistic children. So it's not necessarily worrying about something, it's the loud noises, the bright lights, the awful strong smells, the busyness.
And we now put things in place, don't we? We're like hyper aware almost of. I know if I'm about to make a coffee with our coffee machine that's really noisy, I announce it to everybody first. Coffee machine's going on, just so that it's not unexpected. Like the kitchen is one of the worst places. Extractor fans and all of that.
Absolutely.
When we go out, we'll always have sunglasses for the bright light or headphones, ear defenders. Just everything in your toolbox, basically, isn't it? Just to help them cope if they need it.
Yes, and I think when the anxiety levels are at their highest, all these things are so much worse. So it's a changeable feat, really, but we always have those. There was a really long period where my son couldn't cope with going into town. It's a challenge now, not saying it's not difficult, but there were places that he was more comfortable to go out to when he was anxious, like the beach, which is near us. It's fairly quiet. And the woods, nature, things where there's not going to be so many things that make him anxious.
It's really interesting how it can be different on different days. Like I was going through my notes the other day from a couple of years ago when my son just couldn't bear to wear this t-shirt, this long sleeve t-shirt that he used to wear every day. Suddenly, the sleeves were really annoying him around his wrists. And that caused a big meltdown. And we tried pushing them up, but that was no, couldn't cope with that. He just could not wear them. And we had to find something different to wear. But that day, it was really difficult for him to just wear clothes. Yeah, so it can be really like one day, it can be fine. The next day, those same things can cause real difficulties.
And everything's more heightened. And I don't know if your son finds that, but social challenges create anxiety. My son certainly said to me before, "No more than two people. I can't cope with any more than two people." And I think it's working out those social cues. The
The fact he
unpredictability.
was able to explain that to you, that is massive though, isn't it? Because maybe going back a couple of years, he would have just freaked out, but you wouldn't have known why.
He wouldn't have spoken. He'd have just held it all in. But social situations and not knowing who's going to be somewhere, that creates
Yeah,
anxiety.
like if you bump into somebody out of context as well, so say
Yes.
see a school friend in a supermarket or something, that can be really like, oh, I wasn't expecting them.
Last year, actually, we used to pick my son up. So he was at the alternative provision part of the specialist school. And we used to drive to pick up my daughter, and she was at middle school. And we would park just in the roads nearby, waiting for her. A number of his friends from first school would come out, friends who he would play online with, but he would want to hide. It was just that unpredictability of who might be there. He would never know. And that caused huge anxiety. Other causes of anxiety that I completely overlooked for a good amount of time that didn't realize that they caused anxiety was changes in routine.
We definitely have that so much so that my son would like to go to school all year round and not have any holidays. Thank you very much, because that's his routine. And it's the same with being off sick. Absolutely hates to miss a day. He can be feeling dreadful and still want to go because it's his routine and that's what he does every day.
Yes, changing routine is hard. We struggle more when it's been the holidays and then it's getting back into that routine. Or the most difficult thing is the change to a timetable. So if it's a new term and the timetable is different, that causes a lot of anxiety. Just the fact that, well, I've been in the position where he's been unhappy about something on the timetable. So I've spoken to the school and I've explained and they've made these accommodations and we're all ready to go. And he's then been really anxious because it's different. Even though it's something that he wanted changed, it doesn't make it easy to access. It causes huge anxiety.
I think any changes can be really difficult to accept, can't they?
Yeah, even if they're ones you wanted. How is your son over making mistakes?
Sticker books for our son were a nightmare because he would like them to be perfectly aligned. You know, you get those Peppa Pig ones that make the whole picture and you have to get the dress exactly right, and he wouldn't do it himself. He'd refuse to do the sticker books, but he'd ask me to. And if I got it wrong, he'd have a massive meltdown if it was just slightly wonky, because he needed them to be exactly right.
I see it a lot with my son in terms of learning. It's that I should know how to do it, even though I've not been taught how to do it. I can't possibly try and get it wrong because I can't be wrong.
There's this pressure that they should already know everything.
I know this the real anxiety about getting it wrong. I see it with my son with maths, and maths is one of his favorite subjects, and he really likes it, but the thought of getting it wrong sometimes paralyzes him to not be able to access that lesson.
I guess it's just supporting them through that. You know, you get those gingerbread kits, the gingerbread houses that you can make. And I remember doing one of those with him, and he was quite small. I think he was about 4. And there's the picture on the box of how it should look with the icing all perfectly in the thing. And again, he was getting upset because ours didn't look like the box. And I just grabbed the icing tube and just went all over it just to sort of say, it's okay. Like, it doesn't matter. I think at first he was a bit shocked.
I imagine he was.
I was just trying to make a bit of fun out of it, and I think kind of got it. But he still prefer it to look like the box.
When my son was at preschool, he used to have huge anxiety about performances. I remember he had to be a shepherd. I think it was a shepherd. We had a shepherd's costume, got him dressed. Every time he turned around, he'd taken it off. I didn't realize what was going on at the time. We tried to encourage him to do it. And we arrived late in the end with the costume. And I said, I don't think he's going to be able to do this. And the preschool staff were lovely. They managed to get him changed, took him around, held his hand. But he was just frozen on the stage. And that was at 3 years old. He didn't do school performances, he didn't do sports days. Even a class assembly, there's a lot of expectation.
Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so many people in one place, all the noises. kind of in close proximity to a lot of people as well in those performances. I think it's huge pressure for them, isn't it?
Yeah, and you could get
But
it
for a
wrong.
parent, that's the kind of the bits that you're really looking forward to, isn't it? Going to see them in a play. Oh, it's going to be so lovely to see them up on
That's
stage. They're
it.
going to look so cute. And then it doesn't
That's
happen.
it. You're the parent that's there without the child.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah,
think
you
our son ever did one. No, just
never.
couldn't. No.
And I think something else that you've touched upon actually that causes anxiety is that lack of control. Like, I have to do this, or nobody's listening. Our cousin works in a specialist school, but in a different county. And she came up when we went out for the day and your son was struggling. And she said, you really need to validate when they feel powerless and not listened to. He needs to know that you hear him.
Yeah, I try to make sure I really get down on their level and look at them and say, I hear you. I hear you. And it's okay. Just that bit of reassurance. We've got their backs, basically.
What else can we do to help in these situations where our children are really struggling with anxiety? We've talked about being prepared, so carrying things like the ear defenders, noise cancelling earbuds. We need sunglasses, we need fidget toys. If you're going to a busy place, like we went to Harry Potter in January, which was for his sister essentially, and I really wasn't sure he'd be able to manage, but they have quiet spaces and they have a lot of things in place. So knowing and letting the child know that there are these options if you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
As you said, preparing visually for when you're going somewhere.
If you're going out for the day as well, I tend to like research the place we're going to. For example, there's a local museum that we've been to and they have a quiet room. So I made sure I knew where that was and that we could go there and access that if we needed to, just to give them a break. Parking facilities, all of that. Some people have blue badges that can be really helpful. So you can park close to the venue and if you need to make a quick exit, you can. Looking up if there's like discounts if you can't stay for the whole day, so then you're not shelling out loads of money just for like an hour.
And as you said, letting them just choose not to do something if it's too much without making them feel bad about it.
And lowering expectations, like let's just go and
Yeah.
see. Let's go and see what the outside looks like. If you want to go in, great. If you don't, fine.
If anxiety is a lot around social situations, if it's communication, you can talk about ways to communicate. If someone says this to you, how can you answer? Because I know my son struggles to know what he should say. He's a bit puzzled sometimes. What are they asking? And then if he gives an answer that comes off a little bit as rude, he doesn't understand why.
Breathing techniques, I think, are good if they're open to learning that. I had a book or a worksheet about a little breathing exercise you can do with little ones where you pretend you're driving a car and you take a deep breath in as it goes up and then down, and then take a deep breath in and then out all along the hand. It can be quite a nice little game for younger ones.
We've really talked about that, but the need for you to be calm and you to be patient as much as you can and give them time.
It's not always easy.
No, it's not always easy, but give them time to process and time to understand what you're saying and to give the answer. Lots of advance notice using the visual timetables and planners can be really helpful, or just looking it up and affirming who they are, it's okay because they're likely feeling really bad about this anxiety anyway. I remember someone said to me when my son was really having trouble accessing mainstream school, she was really well-meaning, but she said, he really doesn't want to be here, does he? And I said, nobody does. And that's what's so hard. So affirming that they're okay as they are and you understand the struggle, it's that want to but can't. And I think that really has to be acknowledged.
Yeah, definitely.
If they've got a huge fear of making mistakes, try to emphasize that it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect and demonstrate that, which is what you did.
Or just don't do sticker books.
Don't do sticker books. We know that anxiety can be one of the most challenging parts of raising an autistic child and that every child is different. There's definitely no one size fits all approach here, but we hope that you will have found something useful in this episode. Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast.
We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone.
If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it.
And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com.
Until next time, take care.